Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody say fruit. So the title of today's message is, what is growing on your fruit tree? Anybody ever, how many native Floridians do I have in the house? All right, raise your hand. You're born and raised, you know, orange fed, right? See, I grew up in the woods, man, over in Cocoa Coy, you know, right? Over there off of Stetson Drive and Ivy Drive, man. We had forts in the woods and rope swings and we did all that stuff. And then video games came out, right? But we before the era of video games, had to go outside and play. So what did we do? You know, our parents were at work in the middle of summer. It's school's out. And they're like, just we'll see you at dark. Make sure you're home when the streetlights come on, right? So we'd go wander around in the woods. And in Florida, the woods are full of orange trees, you know, and everybody that knows anything about orange trees is, man, they produce a lot of oranges. Have you ever noticed that? You know, have you ever seen an orange tree? Like, I'd go out in the woods and there'd just be oranges all over it. But have you ever watched an orange tree grow oranges? Does it sit there and is it going like, ah, trying to get fruit to come out of it? You know, you ever seen a tree just like, ah, trying to produce something? I had to do it one more time for the middle. That's not how it works. You know, God designed orange trees to make oranges. So it's just a natural process that the tree produces fruit, okay? And think about that. They're made that way. They're not straining. They're not fighting to produce fruit. They just produce it. Well, our lives are the same as those trees. And I want to show you that today. You see, our lives naturally were made by God to produce fruit. Okay? And, you know, unfortunately, sin has corrupted our fruit tree of our lives. Think about this. If your life is the image of a fruit tree, then your fruit tree has been corrupted by sin. So what's happening is you are producing fruit naturally like a tree should, but with that sin issue inside of us, we're looking at our lives and we're wondering why the fruit that is coming off of our trees is so not good. Right? How many of you guys know that the fruit of your life can be good or it can be bad? We're gonna take a look at that today, okay? Because I want to look at what's growing on your fruit tree. Everybody say, he's coming for me again. He just came for me last week. I think it's kind of my job. I don't know. I want to preach the truth in love, right? So just know that you're loved today. But you know what? Let's start with me. I had to take a really good look at my life when I met Jesus. Really good, hard, long, painful look at my life. And you know, the first thing I looked at my life and I was like, wow, I'm a thief. She laughed first. Then I was like, wow, I'm a liar. Right? I had to look at my life and go, I'm a sexually immoral person. I'm looking at the tree of the and the fruit coming off of it, and it's like the fruit of pride was coming out of my life. The fruit of addiction was coming out of my life. And I had to look at the tree of my life, you know, as I was coming to know Jesus and go, man, I'm godless. I have no idea. I have no relationship with God. I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to God, and I don't have any desire. And that's why, you know, I had to look at my life and go, my tree's producing some seriously bad fruit. It's not a good thing. You know, there's still areas in my life that I'm working on 35 years into this game of living my life for Jesus, and I'm still having to look at areas of my life and go, is that good fruit? Or is that bad fruit that's coming off of my tree? You see, we look at the world and look at the way that people are living their lives right now. You know what I mean? I mean, we're all good, right? But look at them. Oh my gosh, those people over there. Oh my goodness. I've come such a long way. But there's still work to be done. We're all in this process, right? But not all people in the world are bad or evil, and their fruit is just totally disgusting, but there are some. Look at the scripture in Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the path that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that what? Find it. What is this scripture talking about? You see, there's this broad path that the world is on. There's a corrupt tree that is actually producing fruit in all of these people's lives around us, in our lives as well. And that fruit is actually putting us on a path. You know, it is producing destruction in our lives. And we've got to begin to take a really close examination of the tree of our life and say, what is the fruit that it's producing in my life? You see, bad fruit leads us down the broad path. Isn't that good news? It is if you know how to appropriate it. And that's what we're going to learn today. So how do I get off of this system of the world's tree that is producing all of this fruit in me that's putting me on the broad path? How do I get off of that? I give my life to Jesus. You know, you can't produce good fruit out of your tree. Only God can produce good fruit out of your tree. See, that sin has corrupted us. But see, it's through Christ that we can be renewed, that we can be just learn to operate and move with the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See, the Father's desire is for you to produce good fruit. Say good fruit. God wants you to produce good fruit in your life. And in doing that, you know, let's look at Matthew 7, 15 through 20. This is the second part of that scripture. He says this, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. That's kind of crazy when you think about it, isn't it? It's like, what a description. You will know them by their fruit. So how do we go about judging what's good and what's bad in the world? We got to look at things from the perspective of trees. We've got to say every person is a tree. And what kind of fruit is coming off of their tree? If we look at their fruit, the Bible tells us that we will know them and who they really are because, and we're going to keep going. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? No. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. It gets real simple when you think about trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will what? Know them. So it's not necessarily us looking to the fruit and saying, oh, you're bad fruit, man. You got up in the middle of my sermon and went and got a cookie. It's not about that. It's about us being able to rightly judge ourselves first. To be able to look at our lives and go, what fruit is coming out of my life, God? What is it looking like? I should be able to judge myself by the fruit that I'm producing in my life. You see, Jesus came and died on the cross to make you a good tree. You can't be a good tree on your own. It's by grace. You can't be a good tree on your own. It's by grace. It's through the gift of God and the gift of his son, Jesus, coming into your life that changes the dynamics of the tree of your life so that you can therefore receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then through the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit can now begin to flow through you from your roots up, and you will begin to produce fruit in your life. Good fruit, not bad fruit. You see, we need to change our tree. And it's within each and every one of us to be able to do that. It's a simple decision that you can make. How do I change my tree? You give your life to Jesus and you get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's your responsibility. Then it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to grow you, to mature you, to convict you, to show you where you're at, to show you the bad fruit in your life so that you can change that to good fruit in your life. But if you don't get through the process of actually accepting Jesus into your life and allowing him to God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, you'll never produce the fruit that God's looking for you to produce out of the tree of your life. Think about that. So what is this fruit? You know, what is it? Is it an orange? No, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's spiritual fruit. You know, as much as we like natural fruit, how many of you guys know spiritual fruit's even sweeter? Okay, so let's look at this. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. You ready? Say, I'm ready. We're going to look at fruit, spiritual fruit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is, drum roll, what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And it says, against such, there's no law. So God's like, you can do all the love you want. Get addicted. You can do all the joy that you want in your life. You can do all the peace, all the patience you want. There's no rules, no laws against any of it. You want to have kindness, you're allowed. You want to operate in goodness and faithfulness, it's allowed. So let's look at these for a minute. Let's break it down for a second. This is good for us. You know, we need to think about this. So let's look at love. Seems to be the greatest of all fruits. It's not even Valentine's Day and we're teaching on love in church. Are you ready? So the highest priority is love. It outweighs all the others. How can you say that, Pastor? Because scripture tells us that. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is what? So what is the greatest fruit that you can produce in your life from the Holy Spirit? It's love, right, D? It's all you got. Man, there's eight more. We'll get you there. Okay, so here we go. Love. What do we do with that? You know, love is important, but you know, there's this whole quandary to the love thing. Are you ready for this? The reality is that love is the goal. It's the plan. But man, why are people so hard to love? You notice that about people. They will test your love meter to the max. They're like, you gotta love me. No, okay, but I don't want to. I'm challenged. You know, the hardest person to love is yourself. God's after you. He wants you to love yourself. He wants you to love others. And even when you're hard to love and others are hard to love, God's looking for us to do that. He's looking for us to operate in love. You see, we need to insert a greater level for love within us by reminding ourselves one thing about love is this: love is not a feeling. It's an action. Let me say it for this group. Love is not a feeling, guys. It's an action. We choose to love. We don't love because we feel like it. If we do, that's called lust, okay? We love because it is an action and it's a commitment. When you give somebody a ring and you make a vow to them and you say, I love you on the altar, you are making a commitment to them. You're not having a feeling about them. So love is a commitment. Say that. Sorry. So let's look at joy. Let's move on. What is the biblical definition of joy? Isn't that a cute little flowery thing? It's very girly. They didn't have any manly joy stuff. So what is the biblical definition of joy? It is a lasting emotion that comes from, listen, the choice to trust God and that he will fulfill every promise that he's made in his word to you. You want to have joy in your life, you can't have joy outside of knowing God, because God is the giver of joy. And knowing and trusting that he is going to work all things together for your good, no matter where it goes, no matter what happens, will give you joy. Everything else is temporal. Your joy, you can have joy for the moment if you place it in something or someone, but eventually that something's going to break, that someone's going to break. And then your joy is going to be gone. But see, if we put our joy in the Lord and trust in him that he's with us, then we can have joy continually in our lives. Isn't that a much better option? Psalms 33:21 says, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. You want to have true joy in your life, you're going to have to trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path, and he will give you joy in the process. Somebody say, I want some joy. Trust the Lord, people. Trust him. All right, let's look at peace. Right? I spent a lot of time trying to cultivate peace in my life. And it's one of the fruits that you really just can't grow on your own. You can't grow peace in your life. That'd be like trying to will myself into a state of calm. You know, it's like, I'm going to be calm when everything's going crazy around me. I'm going to have peace right now. It's like that tree. You're trying, like, I'm trying to get some peace to come out. That just didn't sound good, did it? Sorry. Well, too graphic. Just took some of you right there. I have spent a lot of time trying to find peace, and I've found that true peace is from, it comes from turning to God in prayer. Turning to God in prayer and just saying, God, give me your peace. I'm going to trust you and see you do great things in my life. You know, Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God in the peace of God. Somebody say, the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So you want to have real peace that guards your heart and your mind, you got to have Jesus first, because it's through Christ Jesus that true peace comes in your life. All right, you ready for the next fruit? This one's tough. Patience. Never pray for patience. Hold on, let me come over here. Never pray for patience. Why? Because God's going to give you all kinds of opportunities to have to be patient in your life, you know, and that's just craziness sometimes. Romans 15:1 says this, "Now we who are strong in our convictions and faith ought to patiently put up with the weaknesses of those who are not strong and not just please ourselves." Hold on, I'm going to read that again. "Now we who are strong in our convictions and faith," are you Christians in the room? Are you a believer? Do you believe in Jesus? Okay, so what is this scripture saying then? If you are strong in your convictions and faith, you ought to patiently put up with those who are weaker than you are, that are not strong, and they need a little more grace. They need a little more patience from us who are mature. Right? We're supposed to put up with them. And when we don't put up with them, what's the scripture telling us? We're just pleasing ourselves. In other words, saying you're selfish. So when you're impatient and you're not allowing people who aren't as mature as you the opportunity to walk in grace around you, and you're being impatient, the Bible says you're being selfish. Ooh. Ready to move on? Or should I keep going? Yeah, okay, let's move on. Let's go to kindness. That's way better, right? Kindness, how bad could that get? Here we go. Ephesians 4:32. "Be kind to one another." Why'd they have to put that "to one another" part in there? "Tenderhearted, forgiving one another." Man, there it is again. "Even as God in Christ forgave you." You know, my mom, when I was growing up, had a lot of little sayings. Anybody's moms ever have a lot of sayings like, "Oh, it's all fun and games till someone gets hurt." And then it's hilarious, right? That's on the shirt. That was my mom. My mom's version was just, "It's all fun and games till someone gets hurt. You know, get out of that tree. Hey, come down, get out of there. What are you doing?" You know, I remember I was in the woods one time eating oranges, and we climbed up in these vines, and you know, we'd be up in these vines and we would dive out of the top of the tree into the potato vines. You remember those vines that the potatoes grew on? They'd grow all over the tree, and we would land in there, and it was so cushiony and soft, and all the branches would move in, and it was like a big airbag or something. Well, you know, we did that all summer long, and we ate too many oranges, so we ended up putting a little hole in the one section, and then I dove out of this thing, and of all things, I hit that little spot, and I mean, I went whoop straight through this thing 20 feet to the ground, and hit the ground, no wind left in me. I'm like, "Somebody go get my mom," you know, and what does my mom say? "It's always fun. Someone gets hurt." How about this one? "Don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution." What is that? But, you know, when I think about kindness, I think the one that summed it all up, and this is true, and I bet every one of your parents said this to you, "If you can't say anything nice..." That kind of sums it up for kindness. Goodness. Goodness is really good. You'll like this one. Romans 12:9. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good." Okay? In many areas of scripture, this word goodness is translated as generosity. Okay? So when you're operating in goodness, you know, at least one part of it, it means that you're being generous with your resources. You're helping people. You're spending time. You're pouring out your emotions, and you're working with people. You know, and I'm working on trying to cultivate goodness in my life. And we all should, you know, and working on being more generous with our time and being around people. Amen. So how about faithfulness? Let's keep pressing. We got to get to the last one. It's a doozy. So faithfulness is Proverbs 3, 3 and 4. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. You see, faithfulness is simply just trusting and believing that no matter what happens, that whatever ups or downs, whatever goes on in your life, God is with you. And when you learn that God is faithful to you, you can therefore learn to be faithful to others the same way your Heavenly Father is with you. So it all starts with your relationship with God, and faithfulness comes from Him, and then He teaches us to be faithful with other people in our lives. Does that make sense? How about gentleness? Gentleness. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long suffering. Man, they just added five more.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.